The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us. We're going to continue our series of interviewing and introducing to you. We have done now five Democratic candidates who are seeking the nomination to run for Congress in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. And we will finish off our series with Pete D'Alessandro. I have known Pete personally and in business for some time, so this is almost not fair. So I know a little bit about Pete and what he's been up to, but perhaps you don't. And so we'd like to have this opportunity to welcome him and get to know him a little bit better. Pete, welcome. Good
Mike,
to have you here.
Mike, it's good to be here.
You know, we have bumped into each other on the campaign trails for a couple of years now. And you're always in the thick of things. And so you decided to get into the thick of things in the 3rd Congressional District race. Tell us about Pete D'Alessandro. Who are you? Where'd you come from? What have you been doing? And, don't leave out that policy wonk stuff.
I'll tell you what, it's actually a great question. It's actually a great question, Mike. I wasn't born here.
I can tell from the accent.
Well, like I say, when I get out to sometimes of the western side of the district, I try to tell them I have a Des Moines accent, but it doesn't wash. I actually grew up just outside the city of Chicago. I grew up in a house with – I had four siblings. I was the oldest of five. Yeah. Stay-at-home mom. My dad was a diaper man. And what a diaper man was, I don't know if you had those here, but my dad basically every day had a truck that was just a little smaller than a UPS truck. And he had about 150 to 180 stops a day, depending on the day. And he would deliver diapers to young couples that had toddlers or had newborns.
Sure.
And then he would take the soiled ones, throw them in the back of the truck. And at the end of his day, he would get back to the plant. He would unload those diapers. And then there would be another crew there that would clean them. And the whole process started all over again the next day.
Wow.
My dad used to have a great line. He used to say he was one of the few people that worked outside in the Midwest that actually preferred the winters over the summers.
I would imagine so.
And I was on that truck a lot, so I'll tell you, he was right. That was a true point. The reason I tell that, though, and the reason when you say, who are you, what are you about, sure. is to me that's part and parcel and the essence of who I am, why I do what I do, and actually why I want to run for this office is my dad walked out of that house with that type of job every day. My dad did that job for almost 40 years.
Wow.
But we lived in a great neighborhood with great neighbors, a great sense of community.
And your mom was a stay-at-home
mom? My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. We had a great sense of community. I had great teachers in great schools. But as important, when my dad walked out of that house every day, he knew if something happened to him, whether he got sick or an accident, that his family was going to be taken care of. He knew if any of his kids got sick, they were going to be able to take care of. I never even thought that there was situations where you didn't go to the doctor twice a year. That's just what you did. The reason my family was able to live in that dignity, and I'm going to use that word, live in dignity in a great neighborhood, was not because my dad had a great work ethic. He would have had that regardless. It's because of the union dash in front of diaper man. He was a union diaper man. He was a Teamster diaper man. And because he had that contract, he was able to do a job that that was able to let his family live in dignity, which really is what everyone's trying to do. You talk about the American dream. I look at it a little differently. I think, and one of the reasons I'm running for Congress, I think we've been losing it over the course of the last generation, is I think every kid should be able to live in that same dignity I grew up with. We like to talk about the American dream, but you know what? I don't think the American dream is all that different than how a guy in France or a guy in England or somebody anywhere else in the world views what they want. Their dream is the same. I want to do the best I can for my family. What America was great at and what we've been losing a little bit, but I think we can stop it and get back to it, is it was the American reality that was the American story. It wasn't just that he had that dream for his family. He was able to provide it for his family. So that's a very simple segue into the first thing that I like to talk about is if I'm elected to the United States Congress, I am going to be an advocate every day for not just fighting against these, I think, just terrible anti-union legislation that we've seen throughout the country. Obviously, I'll fight against those. I've run three labor tables over the course of the last 4 years in different states. I know how to fight those fights. I know how to win those fights. But I want to be an advocate. I want to get us back to the point where we have a congressman and a Congress that is fighting to expand labor rights, to expand and make it easier to join a union so that more kids can grow up like I did with that dignity that you're able to grow up in that situation.
It's the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Pete D'Alessandro, one of six individuals running to see who's going to take on the incumbent in November of 2018. Pete, about you. So you grew up in Chicago. Your father was a union diaper man, yeah, which is a great story, by the way, just a great story. I remember those diaper men. I was originally from Detroit.
Sure.
And so, I remember that very, very well. You spent a long time in politics. Would people call you a politician, or are you an implementer of politicians?
I am an organizer, is how I look at it. I'm an organizer. Now, I don't think if done right, politics is that's a dirty word to say someone's a politician.
I'm with you. I think it's a great service.
Yeah, I absolutely do too. But I'm an organizer, and I've been doing it it's what I've always wanted to do. But I've been doing it for the better part of the last 25 years, starting in Iowa in 1996. So I got to Iowa in 1996, was part of the team that helped elect Leonard Boswell as the first Democrat actually 10 years. He was the first freshman Democrat in 10 years to get elected in Iowa. And then in 1998, I had the great honor of being Tom Vilsack's field director during his primary run and then staying for the general election.
Well, wasn't that a wild election?
First Democrat elected governor in a generation. In 2006, I was here and worked for Chuck Colver when he was Secretary of State running for governor. Chuck became the first Democrat to follow a Democrat by being elected in something like 70 years in the state. In between, worked on a lot of presidential stuff, worked for other folks in the Midwest. I've worked for people like Paul Wellstone, Dick Gebhardt, people like that in various capacities. I've done a lot of petition drives. I've done a lot of issue-orientated stuff. So that's the organizer part. And I think that's I want to use that as part of my resume when I'm asking Democrats to honor me with their vote and with their support so that I can be their nominee is I know how to win. I know how to win these tough elections. I've been part of this. Now, part of that is having great candidates, which those were some pretty
awesome
big
candidates.
People that I just talked about. I have to earn that. I'm going to work hard to be that kind of candidate also. But that's what I've been doing. I've been an organizer and I've had a lot of success here in this state with people that I really believed in, and not just from the presidential governor and Tom Harkin. We all know those type of races, but all the way to the state legislature. I've got some state representatives up there that we were part of their campaigns, and we're just as proud of that. Because folks like Marty Anderson, who's a supporter, sure, and a dear friend, is up there fighting for social justice every day. And knowing that you had a little bit to do with that during her first election is really why you keep doing it.
Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to him about who is Pete D'Alessandro. How different is it being the guy that runs the ship rather than be in the ship?
That's a great question. And the first thing I say to that is, because I think it is such a great question, is it's not as unique as people would think. It happens a few times. I always use Paul Wellstone as one of those examples of someone who came out of organizing and then got into elective politics. My most recent old boss, Bernie Sanders, came out of an organizing background and got into elective politics. Mayor de Blasio in New York is another great example. And so it's out there. So it's not as unique, but it's not an everyday occurrence. Margaret, who's to my left here and my campaign manager, might be a better person to ask that question. How does Pete different? Because I was actually her supervisor on the Bernie Sanders campaign. How is he different as an operative than he is as a candidate? I will say this. When they're telling you certain things, you've said a lot of those things, in the past yourself. And you have to, I think, and I think I'm doing well at it, is you have to kind of move yourself away from it. I don't compare it as the same type of thing necessarily, but I would use the analogy of the old saying where they say a lawyer who defends himself has a fool for a client. Or it's sort of the same thing. As I know how to do this. I'm an operative. I'm proud to be an organizer, but I have a really great team So I let them let me be the candidate. I would think that's I would say that's the hardest or the most
transition.
Yeah, the transition of being on the other side of the table.
I couldn't agree more because I've done both
that's
as
right.
well.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole different thing. I think when you're pulling the strings behind the scenes, so to speak, and kind of because as the person that's organizing or running a campaign, you see things from a different vantage point than what the candidate does. And the candidate may not be on track at the same time. Maybe he's used to giving this stump speech, but you're watching the crowd and you're saying, hey, maybe we ought to do something different. Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, my management style when I'm running campaigns is all I like to say is you find the best people you can find and then get out of their way.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to do. I got great people working for me, so I'm just getting out of the way. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
His name is Pete D'Alessandro, ladies and gentlemen. He is running to represent Iowa in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. That's 16 counties between Polk County and Pottawatomie County and south of Interstate 80 all the way down to the Missouri border. A very manageable, by the way, area in which to run. All right, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at what happened on Wall Street. And then after our Wall Street report, we're back with Pete D'Alessandro. Don't go anywhere because we're talking policy issues, and we got a bunch of them to talk about. That's coming up on the Business News Hour.
Two young lovers with nothing better to do than sit around the